Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 586, in Lesson 8, The Heart of Art of Harmony. And we talked about embracing differences, and then we talked about accepting lacks or real personality deficiencies or bad midos and how to handle that. And now we're going to go to the third part of this, which is fulfilling needs. Every person has real physical needs, real emotional needs, and true shalom bayis requires that the needs of both partners, husband and wife, are satisfied. And Baruch Hashem, in most marriages, the basic ingredients of their ability to appreciate and respect each other's needs and to provide for each other their needs are well within their ability. They have the will. They understand what it is. Hashem puts in each one of them to be able to do that for the other. Even if it's hard for you naturally and it's not your overall disposition, you have the ability to fulfill your partner's needs, husband to wife, wife to husband. And Hashem is the Shadchan, joins the couple, and he pairs two people to be able to give each other and provide their needs. But again, not imaginary needs, which we're going to talk about in a different time, but real needs. A married couple has a real dependency on one another. Certain codependencies are not healthy, but there's a certain dependency that is healthy. You're a married couple. You need to work together that both your needs are fulfilled. And because it's natural, why is it a test? Because of the great differences between men and women overall. Their needs are very, very different physically, emotionally, spiritually. And each one needs to be sensitive to the other in understanding how to help his or her spouse to fulfill those needs. And the reason why it's so important is that when one's needs are not fulfilled, it leads to frustration, bitter feelings, which could lead to open anger and not good things. It could spiral downward. And it's not enough just to say, I'm a vater, everything we talked about, it's not healthy. Or I'm a tzaddik, I'm going to break my nature and not have any needs. No, there needs to be a healthy respect of needs to one another and provided for each other. So he brings the story, calls it the story of the chocolate cake. But this is a good example that if you listen to it, it will resonate. Even if this exact story didn't happen to you, but it will resonate. A frustrated young couple approached Rabbi Moshe Shachadowitz with strong accusations. First, the husband came into the room, said his new wife has no interest in what he desires. She just mimics what her mother does. And if he doesn't like it, it's not her problem. Then he left the room. The wife comes in, says that her husband is very ungrateful, whatever she does for him. And she gives her soul to try to make him happy, and she gets no appreciation. Even when I make the best things in the world that everyone loves, it's never enough. I never met such a self-centered person in my life. Then he calls back the husband. Wife steps out. Give me an example of how she doesn't care about what you want. So the husband says, of course, I'll tell you. We're married for 2 years. Every Shabbos she makes the same chocolate cake that they make in her home, which they think tastes like Gan Eden. I personally hate that chocolate cake. She never once asked me what type of cake I enjoy. Why do I need to suffer every Shabbos because she doesn't care about what I like? The husband leaves the room. The wife comes in the room. Could you give me an example of what your husband doesn't appreciate what you do for him? And the lady says, sure. There's no end to the number of examples I could give you, but I'll choose one. When my husband comes to my house, before we got married, my mother would always make him a special chocolate cake that was passed down in our family for generations. He couldn't stop talking about how much he loved her cake, how unique it was. So therefore, every time since I got married, I made the exact same cake for him every Shabbos, and he never once said thank you or gave me a compliment. Then I called them both in together, told them the story of the cake, and they were both bewildered. I asked the husband, how many times did he ask his wife for a different cake? And the husband responded, he doesn't like talking about cake. Being picky about cakes is below his dignity. And Rabbi Moshe Shachadowitz thought to himself, being picky about cakes is below his dignity, but thinking about divorcing your wife isn't below your dignity. Talking about a cake is below your dignity, but divorcing your wife because of this is not below your dignity. Moshe Shechada was told him that even if explaining which cake you prefer isn't so dignified, you should in any case do a personal favor and just ask his wife if she would consider making a cake that she likes. And she heard her husband's request for cream cakes or a different cake, and she started crying. Why'd you tell me? I'll make you 1,000 cream puffs every Shabbos if it would make you happy. But I thought you liked chocolate cake. So this is an example, and this is a big crux of so many issues in marriage, of just simple communication. It is all right to ask. It is healthy to ask. Ask freely. Ask freely without requesting anything in return. People think that's a mistake, that you give freely without any request in return. No, you have a right to request things in return. Now, here he says a big yesod, the idea of giving true gifts to each other, seine matanes sichtia, does not apply in marriage. The seine matanes sichtia, that people hate presents or giving, does not apply in marriage. Apitaira, gifts, is a love language. Not just from the 5 love languages that we learned from the secular thing that we gave shiurim on. Giving gifts is a love language. It's a token of appreciation. You can't say when you receive a gift from your husband or from your wife, Seine matanes yichya, I'm not accepting it. No. With husband and wife, you give gifts to one another. That is healthy. It's between, you work together as one unified being. We're not Nevi'im. There's no way of knowing exactly what your spouse really wants. And even if you feel that by explaining it clearly, it's beneath your dignity, it's important to break that ego and communicate. And communicate. Communicate the healthy way. And be willing to take for the purpose of receiving, not just always giving, giving, giving. Or not expecting anything in return, or not accepting any help. Here is an avrech, he said, that made a terrible mistake once. He said he met avrech, which is a young married man, who made a severe mistake in his understanding of chesed. When he was still a yeshiva student, he placed a lot of effort developing the midah of chesed. Now, that's a beautiful thing. We're not knocking that. But here's the problem. After marriage, it's misused. He decided he's going to take this midah of chesed into his home and be the most giving husband he could possibly be. He wasn't going to bother his wife to do anything for him that wasn't as completely essential. He felt his wife won't be a maidservant for him. So using his imagination, he created scenarios of what is acceptable for his wife to do. So for example, he said if there was no choice, she could iron the clothes. But he would never give her clothes that were really dirty to wash. He decided that they would have 2 separate baskets of laundry. He would do his own, she would do her own. Now this seems like selflessness, that you're not imposing upon your wife your dirty laundry, but it's really ego-based. And even if not, it's really misguided. And it didn't take long before the shalom bias of this couple began to degenerate and deteriorate, and he became frustrated and confused. He thought in his mind that he was the best husband in the world, and that image crumbled in his eyes. And they brought him together. He brought him to save the marriage and to see where he made that wrong turn. Rav Shach once told Rav Moshe Shechadowitz that when a new husband brings his chavrusa to learn in his house at night, he wants to honor him, let's say, with a coffee or something like that. Proper conduct dictates to request from his wife to prepare the coffee, not make it himself. Not because it's below the man's dignity to prepare coffee or cake, but rather it's his wife's contribution of bringing people into the home is to offer them food, and it isn't right to steal her share from the home. So that is the idea. They have to trust each other in the roles that each one has. It's also important to respect the quirks and unique needs and desires that are in each one. You know, each one could be hanged up, you know, by the what they call a quirk or a mishigas. And no, it could be easily avoided, these misunderstandings, with a little sensitivity requiring one's needs. So here's an example. For example, a husband arrives at home after a long day, expects his wife to welcome him with full attention. He comes into the home, finds his wife speaking on the phone with her friend, gesturing to him that, you know, to wait till he's finished. He paces 5 minutes, 10 minutes, till she finishes. Then she turns to her husband. What happened? You don't look so good. Oh, the telephone, 1 second. The second before you walked in, my friend, I didn't spoke to her for half a year, called. I finish as soon as you're able to work in. I have a beautiful meal waiting for you. What are you worried about? And he doesn't answer. He's silent, not knowing how to explain what the problem is. Next time this happens, the wife finishes in 5 minutes or in 2 minutes, and her husband has strange behaviors with this. And finally, the husband opened up and said to his wife, listen, although I can't explain why, it does bother me when you're on the phone when I come home. I know it's a crazy hang-up. For some reason, it bothers me, and I would appreciate if you could try to avoid that in the future. Now, listen carefully. Does that mean that the husband shouldn't work on his own patience and accept the wife the way she is? Accept that it's okay for her to be on the telephone when he walks in? Yeah, it's better for him to work on that. Agreed. But sometimes it's important, nevertheless, to share that sensitivity to his wife. If he holds back his frustration every time and the wife is not realizing that her activity is bothering him, the frustration will build and build. So yeah, of course, a better path, you would say, would be to be mavater completely, to forgive completely and let go completely. But in a realistic way, if you know that that's not happening, if you know something's bothering you, even if you don't, you say, you know what, it is a mishigas, I really should work through it, but this bothers me, communicate that, and they'll work together with it. Even if it doesn't make logical sense, this thing bothers me, okay. So he knows or she knows, and then they'll be careful going forward. So that's the idea. It's not a courtroom, who's right, who's wrong. It's a respect and a sensitivity to each other's needs, to each other's hang-ups, and just working with each other to find that deeper unity. So here are those three things, and we finished lesson number 8, and we're going to begin lesson number 9 next Shir Bez Hashem, about individuality and intimacy. It's a very important topic. But going to summarize the fulfilling needs, these are 3 points that commonly threaten shalom bayis if not approached properly. Number 1, the couple's general inherent differences, even if it's not character flaws, even if it's not bad midos. And then when it is bad midos, that's number 2, a spouse's deficiency. How do you handle that? And then the lack of sensitivity to each other's needs. Now, even if you're not 100% successful, that's okay. You just faithfully work together to achieve that greater harmony. And with this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will shower tremendous bracha on you as you work in your marriage in all these areas and enhance your marriages. And you'll have a simcha and a menuchas ha-nefesh and a yishuv hadas, and the shechina will be in your home. Bracha v'atzlacha.